Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. He's the reason that we're here. He's the reason that we can worship. He's the reason that we can call each other brothers and sisters. I was read over the lesson we were studying this morning. I just felt like the first verse of the lesson should be my theme verse. If you want to have a theme verse, I didn't necessarily have that. But if you remember that first verse in our lesson, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So I titled the message this morning, A Call to Remembrance. The week was very busy, and I felt like there was something going on every day, every evening. There we go. And I just felt like I didn't hardly have much time to think, and I was talking, I think, to Curtis Thursday night, it was, and I said, I just don't know. I said, I didn't have already time to think. And it wasn't shortly thereafter, also I remember, you know, it is Memorial Day weekend, and I felt like maybe I could go something down that line, and God did remind me of a message I brought back in 2019, so some of this is from that. It's not altogether from that message, but I titled it A Call to Remembrance. And as I said this weekend, there's a lot of people all over our country who's remembering and honoring those who served in the armed forces and who gave their lives and for what they've done. And they're honoring them for what they have done. And it's because of what we have today that we can honor those people. We can respect those people for what they have done. And we have the freedom to worship like this. We have the freedom in this country. And people are doing that all over this country. For us today, shouldn't each one of our days be a day to remember what Jesus has done for us? And I just felt like God was here with us as we were worshiping here this morning. I felt like, yeah, we were engaged in worshiping together. And it's because of what Jesus has done for us. And I just, as I thought about what a lot of people are doing here this weekend and Monday, and they do this every year. They honor and they do it specifically to remember. They talk, they do, and they remember. And I wondered how much difference could it be. It may be good for us to just take that as a lesson for us as believers this morning. What would happen if we as believers would do more of this? We talk, we do, and we remember. We wonder and how, and we see the need to pass on the baton to the next generation. Now I wonder sometimes how much better it would be if we would talk, we would do, and we would remember with each other, but with our children and with the young people and with the old folks. We would hear their stories. They talk to us, and we go out and we implement. May we do something in remembrance of that. We change our lives. We remember. How much better would it be if we would do that instead of tearing down? We would honor and we would respect. And we remember what has been given to us. What are some, just in general, what are some ways that we could maybe help us to remember? Well, we have memorials that are set up over our country so people remember. There's special days or holidays people have set up so we remember. Maybe somebody journals in their life so they can look back and they can remember. There's names that are given that are passed down, maybe a middle name or a first name, and that person is so-and-so junior, because they want to remember. Maybe we see throughout our country there's preserved lands or buildings so people remember. What does that look like in the life of a Christian? All through Scripture, God stressed to His people to not forget the great things He has done. He said, pass it down from one generation to the next. Write it down. Tell them. So they remember. He says, set up signs so questions are asked and you can tell them. In the Bible, people gave names on certain locations so they can remember. They set up altars. They set up piles of stones. They set up feasts so they can remember. Why? Why did God say, remember, remember, do this, do that, so you can remember? Why? Because those were defining moments in people's lives where God worked and moved. And He wants us to be glorified in, because of those moments, because of those seasons, because of those times that He worked and moved. He wanted to be glorified. And He wanted to help people to be accountable and responsible to their callings that He placed on their lives and to their commitments that they made. I just thought it was interesting how that verse was the first verse of our lesson and our discussion in our lesson. And to stir up to remembrance what God has done in our lives. In the Bible, there's different things. I just picked out three incidences. One was a Passover, and that was observed time every year, the Passover. Why? To remind people that a death angel passed through the land. And to remind the people that life was spared when blood was applied. And to remind people, His people, that there was a great exodus, that God was faithful and that God moved and that God brought His people out. So observe that Passover, He said. I remember Jacob, and he took his stone pillow and he placed it as a pillar. And he anointed it, and he called the place Bethel. He said that God was there with him, and will bring him, and will be with him, and will bring him back. So he set that pillar up, anointed it, and called the place Bethel, that God was with him. Jacob also wrestled with an angel all night, and the angel put his hip out of place, and they changed his name. And he said, the angel told him, you fought with man and with God, and you're a winner. And Jacob said, I saw the face of God, and yet I live. And there was a memorial in his life that reminded him time and time again that with God, he is a winner, that he was with God, and yet he's still alive, and that God will be with him. God knows that we are human, and we tend to forget what He has done in our lives. And I just thought it was interesting that in the introduction of that lesson, that it was said one of the reasons we forget is because we get consumed with life. And I know for me that can happen so often. And I guess the challenge to me this morning, what do I count as success? What do I consider success in my life? And I wonder how many times I consider success accumulation or nice things instead of saying success is being faithful to the callings that God has placed in my life. And so what is consuming our minds? Is it making us forget what God is doing, or is it enriching that memory of what and enriching that work that He is doing in our lives? This is just a humorous little caption that I came across as I was thinking about remembrance, and it can maybe my life sometimes. My memory is great, but not for very long. One day, John ran into a friend whom he had not seen in a long time, and he greeted him and said, Bill, do you remember what a bad memory I had? Bill answered, yes, I certainly do. Well, it's not bad anymore. I went to a seminar that taught us how to remember things. It was a great seminar, and now I have a wonderful memory. Bill answered, that's great. What was the name of the seminar? Well, John said, wait a minute. My wife went with me. I'll ask her. He turned and saw his wife nearby, and then he turned back to Bill and said, what's the name of that flower with a long stem and a thorn and a red bloom? Do you mean a rose? Bill answered, yeah, thanks. John said, hey, Rose, what's the name of that seminar we attended? I was like, Yeah, that's us humans. That's me too many times. We just, oh my. Yeah, we tend to forget. Even when we try to do things in life to help us remember, we still forget. But yeah, a call to remembrance. God wants us to remember. So what does that look like in our lives? Why does he want us to remember? Maybe what are some things we could set up in our lives that just helps to aid in remembering what he did in our lives? So I ask again, what are we doing today that others are asking? Are we talking? Are we doing? Are we remembering? So the baton is being passed on. Psalms 143 verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse or I ponder on the works of thy hands. Do we spend time just pondering on what God has done? He is doing what he asks us to do. Deuteronomy 32:7 says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. So I believe a good thing for us as we go through this weekend, but every day of our lives as believers, we have it every day to just talk, do, and remember. Are we asking the older generation? Are we asking those around us what God has done? So why the call to remembrance, to forget not? There's just several things I want to look at. I'm going to be looking at Deuteronomy 8 for several things out of there, if you want to turn there a while. But I believe just several things I came across as I was preparing. It says, to remember allows us to reignite. It reignites our faith in who God is. As we remember, it reignites that faith that God is who he is. Also, I believe it helps us to, it's as a reminder to us of what he has done before. You know what? God has done that before. He will be faithful now. I believe it creates an atmosphere of worship. As we reflect, maybe as we come across a mile marker in our lives, or as we come across a memorial that we have put in place in our lives, it stops us and it reminds us, you know, God, you're awesome. God, you are who you say you are. God, I worship you because my life belongs to you. And another thing is it increases our confidence in Jesus. There was something that Abraham Lincoln wrote, and I believe this is why God calls us to remember. It says in a speech back in 1863, Abraham Lincoln said, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us. God calls us to remember because when we start forgetting, we start in turning self and saying, look at what we have. Look at the great wisdom that got us to this place. Look at this we have done with our own hands. Abraham Lincoln said that way back in, what date was that, 1863. What would he say today? But what about us as believers here this morning? Are we forgetting? Is it time to remember? Are we able to stir up in each other's lives memories of what God has done for us, the great work he's done in our lives? Deuteronomy 8. I want to read verses 1 and 2 and then 10 through 18. Deuteronomy 1 and 2. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the days which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Down to verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly homes and dwelt therein, and when thy herd and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart will be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy father knew not, that ye might humble thee, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee great at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power, and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he which hath given thee power to get wealth, that ye may establish his covenant, which he sware unto his fathers, as it is this day. Not very far off what Abraham Lincoln said, is it? He said, you know what? That is happening in our country. And God said, it's going to happen to you children of Israel when you go in this land of bounty. But he says, stop. Be aware of this. Stir, like Peter says, stir up in your lives a way to recall what I have done. I believe familiarity, ease, and plenty is one of the leading causes of forgetfulness. Isn't it so often said, the cliche, that in the hard times we grow? It's because in those hard times we're forced to rely on God. When forgetfulness happens, what does that then cause in one's life? In verse 11, I believe, talks about that. It says, beware that you forget not the Lord your God. I believe when forgetfulness happens, we start forgetting why we are where we are today. We start forgetting the great work that he has called us to. We start forgetting. I believe when forgetfulness happens, there's a lack of concern and care about God, who he is, and what he has called us to. I believe there's a disengaging, a disconnecting from God's work and what he's wanting us to do, and starts connecting with the things around us. I believe there tends to be a pride and a self-reliance when we forget what God has done. Then I believe there, because of this, there's a loss and a disengaging, which will then result in a loss and a battle in life. We wonder why. Why do we struggle? Why do we fail? Because I believe there's too many times we disengage, we forget, and then we don't rely on the God who has done a great work in our lives. Why and how to maintain remembrance? I believe verse 2, verse 10, and verse 11 in this chapter brings that out. I'd just like to read another little story I came across, and this is just an everyday life experience, not necessarily a spiritual thing, but I believe it's maybe something we can start drawing our minds into memorials or things that we can do in our lives that can help us to remember. It is gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every Friday night until his death in 1973, he would return walking slowly and slightly stooped with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. Many years before, in October 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which would hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond the reach of radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, so the men ditched their plane in the ocean. For nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water and the weather and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recalling as giant sharks rammed their rafts. The largest raft was 9 by 5, the biggest shark 10 feet long. But of all their enemies at sea, one proved most formidable: starvation. 8 days out, their rations were long gone or destroyed by the salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them, and a miracle occurred. In Captain Eddie's own words, Cherry, that was the B-17 pilot, Captain William Cherry, read the service that afternoon, and we finished with a prayer for the deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out some of the glare, I dozed off. Now, this is still Captain Rickenbacker's talking. He said, "Something landed on my head. I knew that it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, I just knew. Everyone else knew too. No one said a word, but peering out from under my hat brim without moving my head, I could see the expression on their faces. They were staring at that gull. The gull meant food, if I could catch it. And the rest, as they say, is history. Captain Eddie caught the gull. Its flesh was eaten. Its intestines were used for bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained and their hopes renewed because a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, offered itself as a sacrifice. You know that Captain Eddie made it. And now you also know that he never forgot, because every Friday evening, about sunset on a lonely stretch across the eastern Florida seacoast, you can see an old man walking, white-haired, bushy-eyed, brow slightly bent. His bucket filled with shrimp was to feed the gulls. To remember that which on one day long past gave itself without a struggle, like manna in the wilderness." It's just an everyday story. I believe there's a very important message for us today in that story. Are we allowing God to implement memorials in our lives to help us remember what He has done? We'll talk about that shortly more. Why do we remember? So that our focus can stay correct on who really is working in our lives, changing our hearts and our desires. Verse 2 and verse 18 talk about that specifically there in Deuteronomy 8. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee through the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know that what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not." It's so many times, it's in the midst of those battles and those storms that we want to just forget, because we say, "God, where are you?" But it's in those storms, or it's in those times of plenty where life is going great and we are just living each day with ease, and we start to just shrink back and we start forgetting because everything is handed to us. But it's in either spectrum of life. Are we allowing ourselves to stop and ponder, or allowing someone else to stir up that memory? God has you here for a reason. I've talked to a man, I've gotten loads from him different times in the past, and now he turned his business over to somebody else, and I just talked to him the other day, and he said his neck was broken twice, and he said, "I, without a shadow of a doubt," he said, "God has me here for a reason." He said, "I don't know what all that is, but," he said, "God has me here for a reason." He said, "My hands are open. God, what do you want?" And he's not going to forget. Are we realizing, are we allowing others to stir up, "God has you here for a reason"? Or are we allowing either the hard times of life to squelch that out, or are we allowing the good times and the bounties of life to allow us just to be swept away into passivity? Or are we every day like this old bent over man, taking that bucket of shrimp and saying, "You know what? This reminds me that God did a miracle. And I'm going to feed those gulls because God did a miracle in my life. And I want to remember that." Verse 18 also says that same thing. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto your fathers. Why do we remember? Because it is God that did the work in our lives. Also, along with that, it's simply giving honor and respect to whom it is due. We remember because we want to give honor and respect to whom it is due. This allows us for proper gratitude. Proper gratitude. And I believe that was brought out this morning too. Thankfulness is so important in helping us to remember. Gratitude and thankfulness helps us to remember the workings of God. How to maintain remembrance is simply living in obedience to God and His work through the Holy Spirit. And verse 1 of this chapter 8 says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. I believe it's very important that as we simply and quickly obey God and following Him where He says we should go, it helps to remain, helps to keep, maintain that remembrance in our lives. Quickly obeying keeps the Holy Spirit's voice sharp and remembering who is Lord of our lives and keeps us walking in His way and empowering us. And I believe this is very important. If you want to turn, it's a familiar verse, but turn to John 14:26. If you want to write this down, for us today, we aren't in the Old Testament times, but today we have an even better way of remembering if we are quick and sharp on following after Jesus and what He commands us to do and what He asks us to do. It's in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. But I believe it's very important that lines up back with what we have read here in Deuteronomy 8 and the verses 1 and 2 and through 10 through 18. It says, just simply follow after what I've asked you to do. If you follow after that, and then we have the Holy Spirit today as in the New Testament era where that Holy Spirit will just speak and will speak and will say, this is what Jesus wants you to do. This is what I want you to do. Do you remember what Jesus did in this situation? Do you remember what I've asked you to do years ago? One of those things my wife and I have different times whenever we started on this thing of trying to just be intentional and take care of bondages in our lives. It happened on our 10th anniversary, and it was 2003. So at different times, we'll reflect back to that. And then back in 2023, we stopped and we reflected on that journey that started us down that road. And it just is empowering to have specific times and places in our lives that we can just revert back to. I remember what God has done. I believe quick obedience brings life and multiplication in our lives. And I believe also how to maintain remembrance is by testifying and blessing. And we see that there in verse 10. And when thou hast eaten, I gotta wipe my eyes off here so I can see a little better. Hard enough, but yet when you get a little bit of moisture in there, it makes it even harder. But anyways, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord. And I think that's very important. And that's going to be one of the memorials I believe we can set up in our lives. And I'll talk about that later. But to maintain remembrance, I believe we should be testifying and blessing. Because when we start getting full and we start having plenty, that kind of seems to taper off. But it's in those moments that we can turn around and say, you know what? I want to testify what God is doing. I want to bless God for what He is doing, even in times of full. I believe by testifying shows others and ourselves what God is writing in our hearts. It can be drawing others to follow God. Now, the last section I just want to look at here briefly also is memorials for remembrance for Christians today. Now, I'm not saying go up and set up idols, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. There's different things beyond just a literal monument. But I believe there are things that maybe we are experiencing even here today is a memorial. But I just like to just stir up in our minds, what are some things maybe that could be a part of our lives that we can point back to? You can let your minds run on that. So many things in life God designed to have a specific place and time, to be as a memorial for remembrance. Whether it's simply in everyday life, we have seasons. It's a memorial that God is faithful and that the next season is happening. Maybe it's a birth. Why do we celebrate birthdays? It's a memorial that you are here today and that you are so-and-so's son or daughter, that you are here for a purpose. Birthdays, deaths can happen. We set up a stone out there as a memorial that somebody lived life. And maybe there's an inscription on of their life testimony. It's a memorial. Maybe new births. I thought about hunting down my baptism plaque, but I wasn't quite sure where it was. But it was kind of a memorial that for years as a kid in home, I had it hanging up on the wall just as a reminder that, you know what? Something happened in my life. God did something in my life. New birth or baptism. Anyways, God knew that in our humanity, as I once again say, we would forget. So he set things up to remind us what he has done. He wants us to remember to bring him glory. And it was interesting. I came across this thing of different men in the Bible, different people in the Bible that have memorials in their lives. Noah's memorial was an ark. It was a memorial to him probably till the day he died. Now, you know what? God saved him and his family because he was faithful. Abraham's memorial was found in his altars. Isaac's memorials flowed from his wells. Moses' memorials was the law, which included the tabernacle and its furnishings. Caleb's memorial was a mountain discovered in his youth but captured in his old age. David's memorial was a God-sized heart. Nehemiah's memorial was a rebuilt wall. Zerubbabel's memorial was a rebuilt temple. And so on and so forth. Memorials of men in the Bible. What does your memorial look like today? And one of them I just thought about was simply what we're doing here today, Sundays. Why do we gather here? Why do we set aside a day besides it was commanded? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why did God set this up as a memorial? Why did he say, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together? You know, in my life, if I wouldn't have a day like this, I would soon forget. If I wouldn't gather with you all, if I wouldn't have a day where I would set aside work, I'd be out there probably trucking it down the road. And I'd be forgetting and forgetting and forgetting because I'm not allowing anybody to stir up in my life what God is doing. So Sundays can be simply a memorial. Think about that next time you come across Sunday, next week. Think about, you know what? God, remind me today who you are and what you're doing in my life. I believe God designed this day as a memorial so we don't forget God and who we are and what we're here for. So hopefully we don't forget with all of our busyness. Rebirth and the filling of the Holy Spirit, I believe, can be another memorial in our lives. When we experience that freedom from sin and we experience the presence of Jesus, maybe it's simply a rededication in your life. Years down the road after you had the initial rebirth experience, you rededicate and you find that freedom, maybe from that push of iniquity, etc., in your life. Maybe that stronghold you just are really battling with, and you rededicate and God does a work in your life. And you remember that time. Maybe you jot it down. Maybe you date it. I don't know. But maybe you put a plaque on your wall. I don't know. But you reflect back to that time as a memorial in your life where you experienced God in a new way. And you revert back to that. No, I am dead to that stronghold in my life. I cut that off. I am a son and a daughter of God. Colossians 2:13 says, "And you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, and he hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Jesus came and set up residence in our lives to remind us whose we are now. With that experience, we can now look back on and see how we once were and how we are now. I believe it would do us good to look back and celebrate Jesus. You know, brothers and sisters, it's okay to talk about some things in a proper place and time of what happened in the past. It's okay because it's under the blood. It's okay because it was brought to the cross. It's okay because now Jesus redeemed that in your life, and you can now walk with somebody else. You can now share with them, "You know what? I know what that's like." And it's okay because it's been bought back, and the beauty has come out of the ashes. It's okay. Obviously, depending on what it is, it needs a proper time and place. But it's okay when it's redeemed. I believe a life change and a heart change from proud, selfish to a caring, giving, life heart, loving heart is a memorial in and of itself. What better memorial than to see someone who was in the bondages of sin, who was in the grips of Satan, who had chains of sin wrapped around their lives, of wounds and brokenness, and they were bound and they could not walk. And yet they turn around, they experience Jesus, and they cut that off from their lives, and they comes forth a blooming, bright, radiant life that is given over to Jesus. That's a memorial that you can't get away from. And it's okay to say, "Look at where I was, but Jesus redeemed me, and I am now over here." It's a memorial that people can't get away from. The ones who are in the world without Jesus stand there and shake their heads and say, "I don't understand, because I know that person and what they were involved in, and I know what held them captive. And they weren't able to break free for years, but now they are broken and free and living for Jesus." A memorial. Amen? If you are free and you are a memorial living today, I want to hear you say, "I'm a memorial. I'm a memorial." Not because of who I am, but because of who He is. Another memorial, I believe, can be the ordinances that we observe. And I didn't write them all down, but one of them is communion and feet washing. It's a memorial set up by Jesus. And if you look in 1 Corinthians 11:24 and John 13:4, it says specifically, "In remembrance or do as I have done." It says a memorial that is set up by Jesus himself to remind us of what he has done and how he wants us to live. 1 Corinthians 11:24, if you don't know that verse, you can turn there and underline it. But it says there in 1 Corinthians 11:24, "And when he hath given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So when we observe communion come September, we'll be actually observing a memorial that Jesus himself set up in remembrance of who he is. John 13:14-15 says, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you." Jesus himself said, "This is how I want you to live. I want you to live in loving service, not just simply the act of service, but in loving service." He said, "I've done this. I showed you how to do it. Now do this as a memorial." So whenever you get up here and you dip those feet in the water and you splash that water over them, it's more than just simply doing an act. It's Jesus himself saying, "This is a memorial. I want you to live life this way. Being willing to stoop down on my knees and say, I love you and I want to serve you." Baptism is another memorial. It's sending a message to ourselves and to the spirit realm that I am no longer a part of the devil's camp. I am now a child of God, a son and daughter of the King. It's more than just simply doing an act as symbol. It's actually sending a message to the spirit realm that this person is no longer in the devil's camp. This person is a child of the King. But it's a memorial. You can look back and say, right here I made a statement that I am no longer following Satan and his ways. It's our choice if we want to go back. But that is a memorial. Marriage, I believe, is a memorial. You can look back. My wife and I can pull out our certificate, but I don't have to do that. We can simply live life together, but in doing that, we are married. And it's sending out a message to ourselves and to the world around who Christ is and His church. How Christ served His church. How Christ lived for His church. And He wants us to relate to each other in that sacrificial love. My life is for her. Her life, we are for each other. Sacrificial love. It's a memorial we can look back on and say, God did a work. But also a memorial we can look back on and say, Christ, Jesus, this is how you love your church. This is how you want. This is, you love your church. We want to love each other that way also. It's a memorial. I believe another one is creating an atmosphere of speaking and living testimonials. I believe this is very important also. And I wonder sometimes, maybe how could we do it more in our setting? You know, how could we have more just testimonials of what Jesus is doing in our lives? Maybe that could be a way we could stir up a remembrance of what Jesus is doing if somehow we could have more time like that, where we can just speak out, come in and just, this is what is happening. This is what I was experiencing. This is what Jesus is, I believe, is calling me, but I need your input. This is what is really troubling me. And we can have that time, that atmosphere of speaking and living testimonials. Speaking out what Jesus has done. In Revelation 12:11, here's another verse I believe is very important. I'm going to read it in the NLT, but you can read it in the KJV too, and I believe it's very powerful. But I believe another that goes along with his testimonial is victories in one's life. Victories in one's life is a memorial, and I believe can become a testimony. Because as you have experienced victories in your life, it actually is like a stepping stone that can allow you to have deepen your faith for the next battle that comes along. And that also, I believe, allows you to have a testimony with that. You can look back and say, you know what? God, you were faithful in bringing me through that trial, that fiery darts from Satan. So I believe now this next experience, you're going to do the same. And you speak that out. Because in Revelation 12:11, NLT reads it like this, and they were defeated by the blood of the Lamb, and they have defeated Him. And they have defeated Him by the blood of the Lamb, and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. So two things. They were victorious, and they spoke out. What would that do in our lives with building faith and conviction and remembrance if we could somehow speak out more what God has done or is doing or what He might be calling us to do. To wrap this up, journaling, I believe, can be set as memorials. I'm not much of a journaler, but there are people who journal, and it is very powerful. Maybe plaques, certificates. Maybe you just want, between you and your wife or you and your family, you want to say, you know what, God is calling me to change this today. I'm going to sign this, and I want you all as a family to read it. And I want you all to sign. I don't know. What does that look like? Etc. All can be memorials set as a reminder of what God has or is doing in one's life. In conclusion, I wonder how many times we forget what God has done because we don't talk about it. Or we don't set up something to remind us. So the result is our faith doesn't grow for the future events. Whatever that looks like in your life, to be able to remind you, whether it's a bucket of shrimp or a piece of paper, or whether it's just a commitment between you and your wife, that you know the date that you made that commitment, and you look back on that and reminds you. And if we don't do that, how often we forget. Think about how a memorial in your life or a lack of one might affect the faith of another. You might say that we must just let bygones be bygones. We're forgetting those things which are behind. Yes, we forget them in a way that they don't hold us in bondage, but we don't forget them in a way that holds us back from glorifying God. We might say, let them be bygones. But I say our Heavenly Father is so wise and good that He can forgive, then turn around and use all things, even ashes, to build the faith of others. Let's not let anything go by to waste by shutting up and burying it. Let's not let it go to waste. Your greatest area of battle or struggle just might become your area of ministry. Praise to God for who He is, for what He has done, and what He is going to do in our lives. Let's remember the great things He has done so He can build His kingdom, and even from ashes that we think is ashes, but He'll bring beauty out of. Praise to God.